Hey there, Agile Merge requests that have sat out there for a month, and welcome to another episode of Agile Bytes, the podcast sponsored by Integrity Inspired Solutions, where we build software in an agile manner day in and day out. Today's episode is called, Hey Managers, is Agile a scam? Because in your context, it might be, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. We're starting to address issues now about agility from the perspective of management. Why are we doing this? Because a lot of times that's where some tension lives when it comes to software development teams and software development organizations as a whole, increasing their agility. And we often experience that on sort of the developer side, people who are building the software, and we are often unsympathetic, or at least we don't fully understand when managers react the way they do to what's going on. And so I want to talk about a lot of these issues from kind of a management perspective. If you're a manager, what should this look like to you? How should you be thinking about these things? What are the common points of tension that come up, and what can you do about it? Which could range all the way from you should be doing something about it to just the team is doing what they should be doing. Maybe you just need to think about it a little differently. So if you'd like your manager to listen to this podcast, I'll wait. You can run off and get them. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to wait, but you know, you can do that. So managers, today I'm going to be talking about just Agile as a thing. Should you even have it? Should you even be worried about it? Should your teams even be trying to do something with it? It's kind of what a lot of people are doing now. In fact, we sometimes say like Agile won the war, right? That hardly anyone is doing waterfall, at least conscientiously anymore. Agile is kind of the default, but should it be? I mean, do you even need it? Do you even want it? Did anyone even decide why this was important? Or is it just something we're doing because corporate told us to, or because our teams told us we should? And I want to frame it as, is this a scam? Because I feel like if I had said, managers, what you need to know about Agile, that was kind of condescending. So instead, we're going to talk about whether it's a scam or not. And in the process, maybe I'll unpack some things you don't know. Maybe it will just be confirmations of what you know already. But here we go. In order to really understand what Agile is and what Agile means, as opposed to what it's not, we need to understand what came before. I'm going to tell you up front that Agile has nothing to do with sprints, has nothing to do with user stories, has nothing to do with story points or velocity. None of that has anything to do with Agile. So if that's how it's been communicated to you, you're already being scammed. Okay, so I'm gonna kind of tell you where all this came from, what it actually is, and that will help you decide how you want to proceed from there. The Agile movement arose in software development in response to a way of doing software development that was very traditional project management oriented. And on paper, it kind of makes sense, right? So what we used to do is you would do a lot of planning up front, a lot of risk analysis, trying to nail down all the details, trying to nail down a timeline. How much is this going to cost? How much are we likely to make? And this was a big thing because usually we were talking about a whole project. And these projects could go on for a year, 2 years, 3 years. I was once on a software development project that lasted 5 years. You know, these are big things. And so we spend a lot of time doing a lot of planning, making Gantt charts and that sort of thing. And then we get all the requirements for this software and we spend days, weeks, months getting these requirements. I've told the story on this podcast before about the place I was at, where before I got there, they had spent a year putting together the requirements documents. It took the efforts of 13 people, and they had spent about $1 million people's time to try to produce a Word document that was 130 some odd pages long, two-thirds of which was outdated or just flat out wrong by the time we got a hold of it. But that's what you would do. You would get all the requirements. Then you would hand that over to somebody, usually an architect, and they would do all the design. They would design out the whole system. And then however long that took, you would take that huge blueprint, you would hand it off to the developers who would do all the development. And this was usually the bulk of the time spent on the project, is developers building out all these things that were in the design. And then by the time they were done, then we did quality assurance, quality control, and intensive testing. That was our focus time to do it. And they would test the whole system, right? They would test every little feature, at the end. Developers would fix whatever stuff they found. And all of this needed to squash into the deadline that we thought we would have at the beginning of the project 2 years ago, right? And this situation created some interesting side effects. Again, on paper, it kind of makes sense, right? Like if you were going to build a house, then, you know, you would figure out what you really wanted in the house. Then you would draw the blueprints and then you would build the whole house. And then you would do these things in successive layers. You know, you wouldn't like build the kitchen and then be like, okay, now we got to do blueprints for the rest of the house, right? So when you think about the way physical objects are normally built, then this kind of makes sense, right? The problem is that software is in some ways not very much like that. It's not like building a physical object because software is very mutable and software success really depends on the ability of the people to identify what the software needs to do and how it needs to get that stuff done. And people are wrong about that all the time, especially when we're talking about it in the abstract, right? At a conference table, as opposed to looking at screens. Also, one of the side effects was that at the beginning, we sort of laid out the plan of how the whole project should go, but people change their minds. People think of things they forgot, or they see a screen and they see features and the features are good, but they're like, you know what? In order for this to be really valuable, I also need this other feature. Well, that's out of scope, right? So now we got to go through this big, long change control process in order to get that feature in or not, right? Or maybe we just lock down the scope and we say, sorry, we'll just get around to that stuff at some other point. And then that deadline we came up with when we knew the least about the project, you know, development has taken a long time. And if you work in quality engineering in your organization, you can probably relate to this. The coders are going to take you really, really close to that deadline because we're going to get it wrong. And that leaves your quality engineering like 2 days to test the whole system, to test the whole thing at once. And everything that they find, then the developers are going to need to be responsive to that. So all these things are very risky. In software development, we don't know a lot of things up front with the level of certainty we think we do. The things we think we're going to build at the beginning of the project rarely turn out to be exactly the things that we've built by the end of the project for all the reasons we've talked about. The market demand could change, the way our particular line of business works could change. We might reorganize the organization. We might decide not to even do that thing anymore. Laws that govern the thing that we're making the software for could change. Or people could just change their minds about what they want and what they don't want. And when these changes, which are far more likely than not, occur over a 2-year period, then it just throws everything else into jeopardy. And what we came to find out is that as an organization, as people who care about budgets and things like that, we were spending a lot of money to be wrong. We're spending a lot of time and money to be wrong, pretending that we knew things at the beginning that we really didn't. And because we made such firm assumptions in the beginning of how things are going to go, it then creates a lot of tension to change that, right? We agreed on a scope up front and we nailed it down. We got all the requirements up front and we signed off on it. We did all the design up front and we're ready to go. And then in the middle of coding, somebody sees a screen and goes, oh, that reminds me, we also have this other business case that happens. And I don't think we accounted for that in the requirements. And now we've created a huge disruption. We may even have to redesign or rewrite some of the things that we wrote because we didn't anticipate this new requirement, right? And now all of a sudden, what happens to our pretty Gantt charts and things like that? And we spend a lot of time trying to recover the project from the trauma of something changing. But software projects and the concept of the product we're building changes far more often than not in software. It's not like once you get going on a plan, that is 100% what's going to come out the other side. And software is not expensive to change if your processes allow for it. And that brings us to something called the Agile Manifesto. Okay, we had all these problems that I described, to say nothing about the morale problems, right? A lot of times developers start working 50-hour, 60-hour, 70-hour work weeks because we got this deadline and we're not even close, right? Our estimate up front was way off, and now we're finding that out here at the last minute. Maybe they even hid it from you because they don't want you to know. I know a lot of managers who think that their developers have always hit every deadline, and it's because their developers are working 80 hours a week when they're near the deadline, right? And you may not even be aware of that. That may be completely absent from time cards or anything like that, but it happens, right? So this was an environment where it was just frustrating. It was frustrating for the people building the software. It was frustrating for people who wanted the software. It was frustrating for the people who were managing these projects. All of this was just hard and made everybody angry and sad. And at the end of it, we often did not have the right software. There were still problems with it because change was so difficult. So in response to this situation came a document called the Agile Manifesto. The Agile Manifesto, it's a very short read. You can look at it on the internet. You can search for Agile Manifesto. In fact, I think the URL is agilemanifesto.org, maybe. I don't know, but it's very short. It's 4 value statements and 12 principles. And this was co-authored by a group of people who had just been trying to do things differently. They're like, the system is broken. The way we traditionally build software doesn't really fit the nature of software development. And it doesn't take advantage of the fact that software could be cheap to change. But right now we've made change very expensive. But one of the benefits of software is it's not like your house, right? If you build your kitchen in the wrong place, you are not moving that kitchen to the other side of the house anytime soon, right? It's going to cost a ton of money and a ton of time to do that. With software, if we're set up right, that is a very easy, quick, and inexpensive thing to do. But we lose all those advantages if our processes treat software like a house, right? Because then it's going to be just as hard to change. So the Agile Manifesto has these 4 value statements and 12 principles. I'm not going to read it to you. Like I said, it's a quick read. You should read it if you're thinking about agility in your organization. I'm just going to kind of sum it up. The upshot of the Agile Manifesto is that we put our primary focus on things that allow us to be flexible, as opposed to putting our primary focus on things that tend to be inflexible. For instance, things that tend to be inflexible are plans, processes, tools, and documentation. Those are things that lock us in to something. Things that tend to be flexible are things like conversations, collaborations, finding where changes need to happen as soon as we can, and, this is key, the software itself allows us to be flexible if we allow it. The actual software we are producing can be flexible if we allow it. So the manifesto is just redirecting us. Instead of placing the inflexible things at the center of your process and having it govern your process, have the flexible things be at the center of your process. That doesn't mean don't create documents. It doesn't mean don't plan. It doesn't mean that we don't have processes, that we don't have standardized processes. It doesn't mean any of that stuff. It just means that those can't have the primary focus of how the software is getting built. Those things can help you, but we really need our software development process to be governed by things that are flexible, not things that are inflexible. And why is this? Because when you are agile, you have quickly and gracefully increased your responsiveness to change. That's what agility is all about, Charlie Brown. It is about quickly and gracefully responding to change. And why do we want to do that? So that we end up with the right software, right? So we end up with software that works for us. That's what agility is all about. That's what being agile is all about. If you say that your software developers or your teams are agile, that's what you're saying about them. You're saying that we change frequently and it's like nothing to these folks. We can change on a dime, right? We can change at the drop of a hat and it's very minimal disruption. If that's not the case, then you are not agile. And I don't care what kind of process you're following. I don't care if you're doing Scrum or Kanban or XP or any of those things. I don't care if you're doing sprints or not. I don't care if you're doing user stories or not. If your teams are not quickly and gracefully responding to change in an efficient manner, you're not agile. That's the thing that agile is all about. So that's what Agile is optimizing for, is for flexibility in response to change. On its own, Agile does not make you faster. It doesn't get you more done. It doesn't increase your quality. It doesn't increase your transparency, and it doesn't standardize your processes. Now, those are all, to various extents, fine things to want, but Agile is not going to give you those things. And the reason I bring this up is because I want you to be clear on what it is you wanted to improve in your software development operations. Is the thing you wanted to improve responsiveness to frequent change? If it is, then exploring Agile is right for you. If you don't care about that, then Agile is not going to get you where you want to go, at least on its own. Now, it is true that most Agile teams do end up being faster. It does mean that they do end up building higher quality software. But Agile is not about those things. Agile is optimizing for building the right software. And you build the right software by being responsive to change. Instead of spending weeks and weeks and weeks trying to plan out every detail of a feature and get it exactly right before you build anything, and you spend all that time doing it, and then you build it, and then you find out you were wrong about something anyway, instead of doing that, an Agile approach would say, go ahead and build the feature, show it to people, and ask them if it's right or not. And then if it's not, change it. So you're doing this in successive iterations, improving the software, correcting as you go. So that's why if you're a manager or you're in a position where you're thinking about how Agile fits into your organization, that's what you need to be thinking about. It makes us more responsive to change so that we end up with the right thing. If that's not an issue for you, or that's not what you are wanting to optimize for, then all the Agile frameworks in the world are not going to get you what you want, and it's not going to help you to switch from one to the other either. So that's what the Agile Manifesto is all about. The thing is, though, the manifesto does not really tell you too much about how to actually do this. It does say some things about it, especially as you read through the 12 principles. Some of those principles are practice recommendations at a very high level anyway, but it doesn't really tell you like, okay, well, how should you do requirements then? And how should you do your releases? And who should be in charge of this? And who should be in charge of that? Agile Manifesto is very short. It's just about the principles involved, right? It's just to get your head right. But in order to do the practices, you sort of have to figure that out. Well, people tried things, and these things eventually became more or less formalized frameworks, practices, processes, that sort of thing. In fact, many of the people who wrote the Agile Manifesto and signed off on it were people who were already coming up with these things. Okay? Scrum existed before the Agile Manifesto. XP existed before the Agile Manifesto. They existed as experiments and efforts people were trying that turned out to align with these principles that they all had in common. So Scrum is one of these specific ways that people and teams have sought to increase their agility because it spells out some things for you. It gives you some roles, okay? They're not called roles. They're actually accountabilities, and it's because you don't have to have the same. It's a long story. We'll talk about that. But it tells you who the people are involved, what meetings should you have, and how long should they go, and what should you get at the end of them, and it tells you all these things, and then it leaves some things open for you to kind of flesh out yourself. But it's just one way. It's just one way to go about these things. Scrum is not synonymous with Agile. Those are two different terms that mean two different things. Scrum is one particular manifestation of a way people have used to try to become more Agile, but Scrum is not Agile. If someone says we do Agile because we do sprints and we have user stories and we do story points and whatever, that person does not know what they're talking about, okay? That person has equated Scrum with Agile and they're not the same thing. And the dangerous thing about conflating those things is it will be presented to you in this way, right? If we do these practices this way, then we will be Agile. And that's not the way it works at all. Agile is a scam if that's what's happening at your organization. Scrum is also not your only option, and Scrum is also primarily designed to facilitate product market fit, especially in competitive markets. The further you are from that situation, the less useful Scrum is. Now, that doesn't mean you can't use it for other kinds of software. You can, and it's can still do pretty well in other things. Just saying that that's what it's primarily optimized for. So again, you just need to ask yourself, What is it that I'm looking for, and what's the best way to get there? The main thing I want you to take away from this is that Agile is about increasing your responsiveness so that you can end up with the right software. And if there's anything else that you wanted besides that, then Agile isn't going to get you there on its own. And it may even work at cross purposes to what you're wanting, depending on how you're wanting things to look. The other primary takeaway that I want you to take away from this is don't let someone sell you a framework and tell you that that's Agile or that it will make you Agile. Don't let some Scrum person tell you, yeah, you got to start doing Scrum and then you'll be Agile. Or you guys need to do SAFe and then you'll be Agile. You're going to be spending a ton of money to be wrong. Those specific frameworks and sets of practices are not Agile. Don't let someone sell you a system. Figure out what you want and then figure out the best way to get you there. And it might turn out that none of these frameworks are right for you based on what you're wanting. So that's it. That's my first high-level summary of Agile and what it means to organizations from a management perspective, some of the things you should be thinking about, some of the questions you should be asking yourself. And I hope maybe I've helped dispel some misconceptions maybe that you've had. So maybe you've had discussions and arguments about certain Agile things that maybe don't even need to be there at all, right? That were never a part of being Agile to begin with. In future podcasts, we're going to be looking at different areas of software development and how those areas look from an Agile perspective, how they should be addressed. So you can kind of be thinking like, is this what it looks like with my teams or not? Are we really far away from that? And you might discover as we begin to unpack these things and bring you some clarity about these things, that some of the tensions you may be having with your teams dissolve, because ultimately that's what I would consider a win, is if you and your teams are in alignment and have great relationships, because now you're all on the same page. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Agile Bites. Agile does sometimes bite, but we don't think it always has to. If you enjoyed what you heard today, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you happen to be using. And if you can, leave us a comment, because we'd love to hear your feedback. What things would you like to hear about? What things did you hear that were valuable to you today? You can also head over to integrityinspired.com to sign up to our email list. But that's all for today, folks. We'll see you next time.